We're launching into our tribute to the moon, and Steve Kosas is here from the planetarium. Steve, thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, thanks, Andy. Glad to be here.
We were just talking a little bit about the history of that song and the moon and space travel. I was saying that my understanding is BBC played that song sort of during their live broadcast of the moon landing that was happening for the UK audience. So a lot of people in the UK and that were watching that associate this song directly with their memory of the moon landing. But you were saying that this song was actually performed in space.
Yes, the Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield, who is on the International Space Station, had permission from David Bowie to perform it. And there's a great YouTube video of it. And he brought his guitar with him and played it and did a good cover.
That is awesome. I'm definitely going to look that up. That sounds like that sounds amazing. I'd love to see that actually being performed. It just seems so perfect. Well, the Marie Drake Planetarium, you were mentioning that there's a kind of construction and renovation happening at the home of the planetarium, Marie Drake, but that there's sort of a portable planetarium you guys have been using to still do shows from.
Yeah, so our static planetarium in the Marie Drake building is not operating right now because of the deferred maintenance on the Marie Drake building. Probably the end of August we'll be able to do shows there again. But we do have a mobile planetarium that's about a 30-foot diameter inflatable, and we have a projection system with it. And we've done shows now at the Valley Library and at the State Museum. The next show, I'm going to be out of town, but I think it'll be the first week in August will be the next show. That'll be announced on our website, mariedrakeplanetarium.org, and on our Facebook page, Marie Drake Planetarium.
Well, what are you guys doing to kind of mark this amazing 50th anniversary of the moon landing that's happening tomorrow?
Yes, July 20th, the Apollo 11 landing on the moon. We're going to be showing an excellent documentary directed by Todd Miller at Nickelodeon Saturday at 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. And I've seen it in Seattle at the Regal 16, where you had to reserve a seat there and you can eat at your seat. And it's very well done, and we'll have two showings tomorrow at Nickelodeon. It's $11 because it's Apollo 11, and the showing is a fundraiser for our digital projector that we're in the process of purchasing for the planetarium to replace our analog projector, which is currently 52 years old.
Oh, okay.
But still working.
Yeah. Now, do you remember the moon landing?
Well, yeah, I was at the moon landing. I was 16 years old.
Okay.
I was in my parents' motel. They managed in Medford, Oregon. I was substituting for a maid that didn't show up, so I was watching it from one of the motel rooms as I was making the beds. So I do remember it.
What sort of impact? Do you remember it having a direct impact on you, watching that and seeing it?
Oh, definitely. I was an amateur astronomer at the time. I'd built my own 8-inch reflector, and so I was engrossed, you know. And it took me quite a while to finish the rooms because I was watching the moon landing.
Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Yes, these terrestrial tasks seem very menial, right? You know, in light of landing on the moon.
Yeah.
Was there the ability to try to observe the moon landing site? Did you get out and even sort of look at the moon in a different way that night, or how did it make you think differently about the exploration of space and about your relationship with your hobby of being an astronomer?
Well, the way it impacted me is that there was an incredible acceleration of science in the U.S., science, technology, engineering, and mathematics from the moon landing. And it was integrated circuits, software engineering, programming, mobile computers was all in the space program, and I was working on that at the time. Besides being an amateur astronomer, I was an amateur radio operator, so I was working in electronics. So I was very interested in integrated circuits that were being used for the Apollo program. Unfortunately, in 72, when the budget was cut for the Apollo program by Nixon, possibly because Nixon wasn't very fond of Kennedy and the moon project was associated with Kennedy, the rate of change for science did decrease in the U.S. after 72.
Of that type of science, of that type of specific science, or you think all types
of science?
All types of science,
yeah. Pretty much went on the decline after 72, and that's been the trend. The U.S. has been lacking or hasn't been putting the same percentage of GDP into science as other countries. We're about 9th or 10th in the percentage of our GDP going to science right now.
Mm. That's interesting.
And it could have been more if the Apollo program had continued.
Yeah, right. So there's sort of a recent rejuvenation of the idea of space exploration. There's there's that's starting to kind of come back around. What are your thoughts about what's happening there?
Well, it seems to come out of science fiction because the groups talking about moon exploration and even Mars exploration now are private corporations, Elon Musk and Bezos, and I forgot some of the names of the other companies. But it seems to be more private organizations looking for ways possibly to profit from space, space tourism, mining asteroids, mining the moon, the moon. In fact, when the moon rocks were brought back, the theories about the origin of the moon were totally changed. Prior to the moon rocks, and about 840 pounds of moon rocks were collected over the Apollo missions, it was thought that the moon aggregated from the same material that formed the planets. But after the moon rocks were analyzed and seen to be very similar to Earth rocks, the current theory for the moon's origin is that it was a collision with a planet the size of Mars that collided with the Earth, and then the material that was broken off from the Earth aggregated into what we now call the moon. And that planet then left our solar system. It's a rogue planet.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the current theory for the moon's origin.
Are there theories about which rogue planet? Is there tracking about some object out there that is thought to have, you know, however many billions of years ago hit our planet?
Well, they're not sure about where it would be located, but we actually had a rogue object come through our solar system. They gave it, I can't pronounce the name now, it was four or five syllables, Hammurabi, I believe it was a Sumerian name. And so there are these rogue planets that travel through our galaxy, and like I said, one just visited us.
Yeah.
Some people, there was actually some talk on the internet that it was an alien spacecraft.
When they did the
images of it, it was a naturally, it was a natural
object. It was kind of strange. It was sort of like cigar-shaped or something, that one.
Exactly. It was like an ellipsoid. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was like a cigar. It had an unusual shape.
Yeah.
But it's on a hyperbolic orbit. It's not going to return.
Yeah. It's interesting when we had this strange weather the last few weeks ago with all the terrible haze that was coming from the forest fires. I chose that day to watch a documentary on the day the dinosaurs were killed by the gigantic meteorite that hit near the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yeah, the P2.5 went up to 157. That's the highest I've ever seen it in Juneau.
Yeah, that's right. It was that day.
Yeah.
And I felt like, well, gosh, it was an interesting thing. And just like thinking about the moon landing, these times when we actually think about how these points of light that we look at that are sort of just pretty actually interact with us in a very specific way and that we interact with as well.
Well, the moon landing was interesting in a historic way because if you look at the events of the 20th century, it's definitely in the top 10. I believe it's the number one event of the 20th century. And it was unifying also. I mean, it's a cliche, but the whole world was watching. It was a U.S. project, but everyone was invested in it. And I think it was possibly, or I have read that it was had the highest audience of any TV show ever. And that was back in 69.
I would think that definitely among things that are scientific in nature would be the number one. You could say that things that have to do with a war or, you know, those kinds of military actions might be as significant or more significant in some other way. But definitely something that's got a pure scientific sort of purpose and you would say the moon landing. I can't imagine anything else that's more significant than the moon landing.
Well, that's quite interesting. There's some arguments about how much science was done from the Apollo mission that was more political than science. But that's true,
isn't it? I mean, there really was a huge political impetus behind why the moon program was started. The space race with the Russians. Because the Russians for 5 or 6 years dominated all the first in space from like 61 to 60. 61-66 was the first man in space, the first woman in space, the first orbit, the first extravehicular activity
moonwalk
that was done.
Or the spacewalk stuff.
But what's really interesting to me about the moon launch is that the mathematical structures, all the mathematics for the orbital calculations is all done from 17th century mathematics, from Newton's mechanics. The three laws of motion of Newton was all that was necessary. We didn't need Einstein for orbital mechanics because the velocity doesn't approach light. So we can work the velocity to leave Earth's gravitational field is 25,000 miles an hour, 7 miles a second. So we don't need Einstein.
Yeah,
it was all Newton, 17th century math that was used for it.
Yeah, basically. And that idea behind the amount of, you know, we think now when we think about technology, we obviously so quickly think about computer power and processing power and those kinds of things. And the amount of processing power that was on board the Apollo 11 is absolutely nothing compared to what we carry around in our pocket today.
However, it was state of the art at the time.
Yes.
Integrated circuits were developed for the Apollo program. There was a portable computer. The navigational computer weighed about 20 kilograms, which at that time was very portable. So that's what I was talking about, accelerating science, and Apollo was instrumental in accelerating science at the time. And there was an Apollo 18 to 1920 planned, but when the budget was cut under Nixon in 72, those didn't happen. Although there is a horror movie, Apollo 18, about a supposed Apollo 18 that was done covertly. But
now what happened? So in the space program, then it went to Space Lab, right? Was that sort of the next step that was happening in the 70s? The sort of focus became on Skylab, Space Lab.
Yeah, that's right.
Skylab, Space Station. And then the space station.
About $100 billion was spent on the International Space Station. And the irony of that now is the only way to get to the International Space Station is with the Russian Vostok. The space shuttle program has been shut down because it ended up costing $1 billion a mission for the space shuttle. It was supposed to have been much more economical,
right.
But that's just the way it worked out.
Right.
So right now it's only with the Russian Vostok that we can get to the International Space Station. And they don't charge $1 billion, but they still charge quite a bit. It's no discount to go on the Vostok.
And are we doing that? I haven't kept up. Are we sending our astronauts on board their ships?
Yes.
We are.
Yes.
That's how they're getting up there.
I think it's in, I forgot where the launch facility is. I think it's in Kazakhstan, but I believe it's, yeah, we still have to send our astronauts to Russia, and they have to learn some Russian and get Russian training to go to the International Space Station.
The ultimate irony. Ultimate irony of the space program is that that's where we are now.
There's another irony, though, that's involved in this. In 63, before Kennedy was assassinated, there was some very serious talk about coordinating with the Russians to go into space. And Khrushchev, over the 3 years that Kennedy was president, they became quite close, and Khrushchev was agreeing to it. And there was a lot of indications that this was going to happen, that the Americans and the Soviet Union were going to work together to go into space, basically to save money, because the Apollo program was about 2% of the GDP at the time.
And massive.
But what happened,
massive
of course,
amount of money. Yeah,
it was.
Right.
But Vietnam was even more, actually, of the money at the time.
Sure.
But what happened is Kennedy was assassinated in 63, in November 63, and then Khrushchev was forced from office in 64, so we ended up having separate programs.
Yeah, and Brezhnev and Johnson didn't want to work it out the same way.
Well, Brezhnev and Gorbachev, yes. Yeah,
right,
true,
right, right,
true,
right.
That's true
right.
about that.
Well, so tell us just one more time, give us a rundown about what's happening tomorrow in celebration of the moon landing.
Well, we're going to be showing two showings of the documentary Apollo 11, which is directed by Todd Miller. It's an excellent documentary at 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. at Nickelodeon. Tickets are $11. It's Apollo 11. But we're going to be at the Jack Block Party today from 5:30 to 7, and we'll sell tickets for $10. Anyone wants to buy a ticket for $10,
all right.
Come to the Jack Block Party today from 5:30 to 7. So
sounds
we'll have
great.
A table there.
Steve, thanks so much for coming in. Good luck with the fundraising efforts on the new projector, and also have a great event showing Apollo 11 in celebration of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
Okay, thanks, Andy.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Sure.